This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 25, and it's verses 31 to 46, and it's the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in a prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Anyone here having a bad day? No one? One person having a bad day. Well, I don't think you're having as bad a day as the goats, because the goats don't have a very good outcome at this particular point in this passage. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people out from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. What we have is a picture of a future event. Maybe. What we certainly have is an image that Jesus has put before us of his return. And at the end, at that particular time, there's going to be a great judgment, as the story goes. And people will be separated into two camps, sheep and goats. And the goats don't have a good prognosis of a long and prosperous life going by this story. The goats are going to be separated and end up in a hot place, and the sheep are going to a party, in simple terms. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." What's the two commandments, the main ones? Second one? What we have here is the outcome of that particular commandment put into practice in love. Back in the 1500s or so, 1600s, we had this debate in the church about whether it was faith that got you into heaven or whether it was works that got you into heaven. And the Reformation brought out sola fide, by faith alone. I think at that particular point, we actually threw out the baby with the bathwater. Because in a sense, if you have a great relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you place your faith into Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, that's an action. It's not just words, it's not just things in your head, it's an action of changing your life around. And out of that change comes more action. Out of that change, out of that faithfulness to Christ, it means that you are going to be doing things differently in your life. And there will be elements of action that people will see that will challenge them and let them know that you are a Christian. So in one sense, yes, if it was your last dying breath and you gave yourself to Christ, yes, you are forgiven and going into the kingdom of heaven. But even that is a change in action of yourself. But for most of us, that isn't the case. Most of us give ourselves to Christ maybe from an early age, a middle age, or a later age. And then from that point on, we live the life of Christ's ministry and mission. There is an action that goes with faith. And action also points to your faith. They're connected. They are so strongly bonded together that faith and action go together. And I understand the history behind why we went with faith alone. But in a sense, they are so connected together that if we live our life of loving God, we also have to put that into action also. And so what we're finding here is the King Christ is going to return and reward those that are putting things into action to love their neighbour. Yes, there are a lot of good people in the world, and there are a lot of people who are doing better things than we are in the church. Just look around when you walk outside. All the particular agencies and stuff that are non-Christian are doing marvellous work. But there's no faith element in it. Jesus came to awaken our souls, our lives, and our actions to be in tune with God's ministry and mission in the world. And so what we see here is a future picture of Jesus Christ looking at us and reflecting upon what we have believed, what we have said, what we have done. I sometimes think maybe it's a trail of God's glory that he's watching. He's seeing those glorious moments where we have been in tune with God the Father, and he can spot them through our lives and find a trail of glory which brings us home. So who is this passage written for? It's not for us. We read it 2,000 years later and we think, hold on, we're the people that this thing's written for. It wasn't written for us. In the time when Jesus talked about these stories, he was going to the cross. He was going to die. His faithful disciples were going to be left alone, no longer with Jesus, and they were going to fall into hard times. They would be abused. They would be crucified. And what he's doing is leaving a story that says, look, guys, it's going to be hard, but I'm encouraging you to continue the work, the ministry and mission that I've done. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. This is the ministry of Christ to his disciples, the challenge to continue it. Now, 2,000 years later, we read it, and it still applies to us. But it wasn't written for us. It applies to us because we are still incorporated into the ministry and mission of Christ, and every generation will be after us. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind and strength, and we are to love our neighbour ourselves, and this is the action of doing that. Sometimes when you look at stories, you wonder why they actually phrased it in a particular way. What did the goats do wrong? What did the sheep do right? Why pick out goats and sheep? Why not mosquitoes and frogs? You know, I'd rather the mosquitoes go to hell and have the frogs in heaven. You know? We've got sheep and goats. And when I looked at it online and they had a couple of photos of sheep and goats, I really had to ask the question, what's the difference between a sheep and a goat? And you'll see my reflection in the newsletter, because in some of the countries, sheep and goats look very familiar. They look much the same, except one might have a bit of a black or a brown nose. They're woolly. They do make different noises. But yeah, it's a story to encourage us to continue the ministry and mission of Christ. And on this particular day, Christ the King Sunday, it certainly brings out the kingship of Christ in the future. I truly, I tell you, whatever you do not do for of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's interesting to see that it doesn't say the goats go to eternal punishment and the sheep go to eternal life. It says the righteous. And the righteous are those that are right with Christ, right with God, and right relationship. It's not from the actions they're doing, but it's that faithful relationship they have. And out of that faithful relationship, the works flow. God's glory can be seen. And so it's a challenge to us, not only to live out a faithful life as a servant of Christ, but to continue to do the ministry and mission of Christ in this world. Not just to sit on our bums and say, we're okay. We've ticked the first box. There's a second box that God wants us to do something. He wants us to be with the poor, to give people water, to clothe them, to visit them. There is that action required. It's an interesting passage because Jesus doesn't differentiate based on distinction, based on physical attributes. It's not based on gender. It's not based on facial features. It's not based on colour. It's not based on the different varieties of sheep and goats. But it's based on the difference between supposedly the actions of both groups. The sheep are the ones that fed the hungry. The goats are the ones that didn't give water or invite strangers into their home. That's the end of my sermon. It's a quick one. We either have faith in God and we live out that faith, or we don't. So I'm going to give you a story. It's about a gas station. Americans call it a filling station. We call it probably a single petrol station somewhere in the bush. The old man sat in his gas station on a cold Christmas Eve. He hadn't been anywhere in years since his wife had passed away. He had no decorations, no tree, no lights. It was just another day to him. He didn't hate Christmas, just couldn't find a reason to celebrate. There were no children in his life, and his wife had passed away. He was sitting there looking at the snow that had been falling for the last hour and wondered what it was all about when the door opened and a homeless man stepped inside. Instead of throwing the man out, George, old George, as he was known by his customers, told the man to come and sit by the heater and warm up. "Thank you, but I don't mean to intrude," said the stranger. "I see you're busy, I'll just go." "Not without something hot in your belly." George turned and opened up his thermos flask and handed the stranger. "It ain't much, but it's hot and tasty stew. Made it myself. When you're done there, there's coffee and it's fresh." Just at that moment, he heard the ding of the driveway bell. "Excuse me, be right back," George said. There in the driveway was an old 53 Chevy, steam rolling out from under the bonnet. The driver was panicked. "Mister, can you help me?" The driver had a deep Spanish accent. "My wife is with child and my car is broken." George opened the hood. It was bad. The block looked cracked from the cold. The car was dead. You ain't going anywhere in this thing, he said. Then he turned away. But mister, help me. The door of the office closed behind George as he went inside. George went to the office wall, got the keys of his old truck, and went back outside. He walked around the building and opened up the garage, started up the truck and drove it around to where the couple were waiting. Here, you can borrow my truck, he said. She ain't the best thing you ever looked at, but she runs real good. George helped put the woman in the truck and watched as it sped off into the night. George turned and walked back inside the office. Glad I loaned him the truck. Their tyres were shot too, he said. That old truck has brand new tyres. George thought he was talking to the stranger, but the man had gone. The thermos was on the desk, empty, with a used coffee cup beside it. Well, at least he got something in his belly, George thought. George went back outside to see if the old Chevy would start. It cranked slowly, and it did start. He pulled it into the garage where the truck had been. He thought he would tinker with it for something to do, and Christmas Eve meant no customers. He discovered the block hadn't cracked, it was just the bottom hose of the radiator. Well, I can fix this, he said to himself, so he put in a new one. Those tyres aren't going to get him through the winter though. He took the snow treads off his wife's old Lincoln. They were like new, and he wasn't going to drive her car anyway. As he was working, he heard a shot being fired. He ran outside, and beside a police car, an officer lay on the ground cold, bleeding from the left shoulder. The officer moaned, "Help me." George helped the officer inside as he remembered the training he had received in the army as a medic. He knew the wound needed attention. Pressure to stop the bleeding, he thought. Thankfully, the laundry company had been there this morning and left clean towels. He used one of those and duct tape to bind the wound. You can use duct tape for everything, all right? Hey, they say, duct tape can fix anything, he said, trying to make the policeman feel at ease. Something for the pain, George thought. All he had was some pills he used for his back. These ought to work. He put some water in a cup and gave the policeman the pills. You hang in there, I'm going to get you an ambulance. But the phone was dead. Maybe I can get one of your buddies on that there talk box out in the police car. He went out to use it, but found the bullet had gone out into the dashboard, destroying the two-way radio. He went back to find the policeman sitting up. Thanks, said the officer. You could have left me there. That guy shot me is still in the area. George sat down beside him. I would never leave an injured man in the army, and I ain't going to leave you now. George pulled back the bandage to check for bleeding. Looks worse than what it is. The bullet passed right through you. Good thing it missed the important stuff. I think with time you're going to be right as rain. George got up and poured a cup of coffee. How do you take it, he asked. Oh, none for me, said the officer. Oh, you got to drink this, best in the city, said George. Too bad I ain't got no donuts. The officer laughed and winced at the same time. The front door of the office blew open, in burst a man with a gun. You can't get much worse, can you? Give me all your cash. Do it now, the young man yelled. His hand was shaking and George could tell that he had never done anything like this before. That's the guy that shot me, said the officer. Son, why are you doing this? You need to put the cannon away. Somebody else might get hurt. The young man was confused. Shut up, old man, or I'll shoot you too. Now give me the cash. The cop was reaching for his gun. Put that away, George said to the cop. We got one too many in here now. He turned his attention to the young man. Son, it's Christmas Eve. If you need the money, well then, it ain't much, but it's all I got. Now put that pea shooter away. George pulled out $150 out of his pocket and handed it to the young man, reaching for the barrel of the gun at the same time. The young man released his grip on the gun, fell to his knees and began to cry. I'm not very good at this, am I? All I wanted to do was buy something for my wife and son. I've lost my job, my rent is due, my car got repossessed last week. George handed the gun to the cop. Well, son, we all get in a bit of a squeeze now and then, the roads get hard sometimes, but we make it through the best we can. He got the young man to his feet, sat him down on a chair across from the cop. Sometimes we do stupid things, George handed the young man a cup of coffee. Being stupid is one of the things that makes us human. Coming in here with a gun ain't the answer. Now sit here, get warmed, and we'll sort this thing out. The young man had stopped crying. He looked over to the cop. Sorry I shot you. It just went off. I'm sorry, officer. Shut up and drink your coffee, said the cop. George could hear the sounds of sirens outside. A police car and an ambulance skidded to a halt. Two cops came running through the door with guns drawn. Couldn't get much better, could it? Chuck, you okay? One of the cops asked the wounded officer. Not bad for a guy who took a bullet. How did you find me? GPS locator in the car. Best thing since sliced bread. Who did it? The other cop asked as he approached the young man. Chuck answered him. I don't know. The guy ran off into the dark, just dropped his gun and ran. George and the young man both looked puzzled at each other. That guy works here, the wounded cop continued. Yep, George said, just hired him this morning. Boy lost his job. The paramedics came in and loaded Chuck onto the stretcher. The young man leaned over the cop and whispered, why? Chuck said, Merry Christmas, boy, and you too, George, and thanks for everything. Well, looks like you got one doozy of a break there. That ought to solve some of your problems. George went into the back room and came out with a box. He pulled out a ring box. Here you go. Something for the little woman. I don't think Martha would mind. She said it would come in handy someday. The young man looked inside to see the biggest diamond ring he ever saw. I can't take this, said the young man. It means something to you. And now it means something to you, said George. I've got my memories. That's all I need. George reached into the box again. A toy airplane, a racing car, and a little metal truck appeared. They were the toys that the oil company had left for him to sell. Here's something for that little man of yours. The young man began to cry again as he handed back the $150 that the old man had handed him earlier. And what are you supposed to buy Christmas dinner with? You keep that too. Count it as part of your first week's pay. George said, now get home to your family. The young man turned with tears streaming down his face. I'll be here in the morning for work if that job offer is still good. Nope, I'm closed Christmas Day, George said. See you the day after. George turned round to find the stranger back. Where'd you come from? I thought you left. I've been here. I've always been here, said the stranger. You say you don't celebrate Christmas. Why? Well, after my wife passed away and I just couldn't see what all the bother was. Putting up a tree all seemed a waste of good pine tree. Baking cookies like I used to with Martha just wasn't the same by myself. And besides, I was getting a little chubby. The stranger put his hand on George's shoulder. But you do celebrate the holiday, George. You gave me food and drink and warmed me when I was cold and hungry. The woman with the child will bear a son and he will become a great doctor. The policeman you helped will go on to save 19 people from being killed by terrorists. The young man who tried to rob you will become a rich man and share his wealth with many people. That is the spirit of the season, and you keep it as good as any man. George was taken back by this stranger. And how do you know all that? Trust me, George, I have the inside track on this one. And when your days are done, you will be with Martha again. The stranger moved towards the door. If you excuse me, George, I have to go. I have to go home. There is a big celebration planned. George watched as the old man's leather jacket and his torn pants turned into a white robe. A golden light began to fill the room. You see, George, it's my birthday. Merry Christmas. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit. What more can we do but to help a stranger in need, to share the love of God with them and help them on their way? We are called to love our neighbour, and that love requires action, not sentiment. That glory here in this place and sharing it with others, in Christ's name. Amen.